happen, we have to really escalate the noise we make so that we'll be heard.
Welcome to Gay USA. I'm Andy Hum, and we welcome back the veteran co-host, Ann Northrup.
Yes, I'm back from a little trip to the West, and I watched the last two shows, and J.W. Walker and Kathy Marino-Thomas, I thought, were just terrific filling in. Yep. They were excellent substitutes here. They're getting very relaxed about doing it.
There
I
are
like
no
that.
Substance. We have a lot to talk about. We have a lot of losses to tell you about this week. Of course, the usual, although we should not accept them as usual, Trump outrages. And, some good and bad news from the states.
Yes, but we decided to start this week with the people we lost because they're giants, each and every one of them. Well, two and a half, maybe.
Well, certainly. We start with Kiara St. James. Kiara was the founder and executive director of the New York transgender advocacy group, NYTAG, which, you know, is sort of the most powerful trans group. I mean, she led the fight for the Gender Expression and Non-Discrimination Act in New York State. She made that her mission, and she made it happen.
And she did what we
there she
have
is
always
on the cover of City and State magazine.
Yes, what we have always admired. And
I'm sorry, just to stay with the picture, because she also fought the end of the walking while trans law. We had a law in New York State: if you stayed on the street for more than 10 seconds, you could be arrested for, like, prostitution.
Yeah.
And this is only used
if you were trans.
They only used it against trans people.
Yeah. She also
and she got that repealed.
And got changes in the shelter system. But what she did was lead a grassroots movement of people. And that's what we recommend and admire. And she was on this show being extremely eloquent about all these issues. And this is a big loss. She had cancer. She, I don't have her age written down here, but
no. She served on the Black Women Health Initiative Board, as well as the board of the Monica Roberts Resource Center. Monica Roberts was another great trans leader who passed away a couple of years ago.
And she was on the New York City Commission on Gender Equity. She was really a solid, committed leader, and it's a huge loss to the community.
And then you probably heard, more prominent nationally, was Jason Collins, who was a pro basketball player who came out late in his career. But it was he was not only the first out pro male, because a lot of women have come out, a pro basketball player, but the first out male pro in any major North American league, which is pathetic. I mean, it is an environment where obviously men don't feel they can come out. And there are a lot of gay people there.
Well,
that's him. That's him with his
husband. Yeah. Well, that's a longer discussion, which we should have sometime. But he'd been in the league for 10 years or longer before he came out. He struggled with it for a long time and really debated whether or not he should come out. He was scared of how he'd be received, but of course he was greeted with open arms.
He apparently had his roommate at Stanford was Joe Kennedy.
And the congressman from Massachusetts.
Yes, at the time. And he saw Joe marching in a pride parade in Boston, and he said, "I'm seldom jealous of others, but hearing what Joe had done filled me with envy." And so he decided to do it. And he never regretted his coming out. And when he played basketball, he adopted the number 98 because in 1998, Matthew Shepard was killed. And so he got very involved in that cause. And that jersey became one of the most popular for the New York Nets in the country.
And he died of glioblastoma cancer, brain cancer, which is the same thing that killed Teddy Kennedy and a lot of others. It's that vicious brain cancer that tends to kill people very fast.
His husband was Brunson Green, and he said, you know,
he was 47 when he died.
Yes, he says, I got to tell my own story the way I wanted to. And now I can honestly say the past 12 years since then have been the best of my life. Your life is so much better when you show up as your true self, unafraid to be your true self in public or private.
Well, that's the line. If you come out, you are bound to be happier, safer, and more successful.
Maybe not in Iran or some other countries we could.
There are caveats, but as a general rule, what people say is, I'm so happy I did it. It has made me a happier, more successful person.
Yes.
And then there's Rex Reed, 87.
We knew him. He was he's been in the New York institution for years. He's written for all the papers. He was a theater critic. He was a movie critic and a performer.
He did a few roles. Yeah. Not well received, I might add.
Well, I mean, you can put up the next slide. He was in the movie adaptation of Myra Breckinridge, where he played Myron Breckinridge. This is a transition. And Raquel Welch played Myra Breckinridge. This was an early 1971, I believe, portrayal of transgender.
Rex was not the sweetest guy in his reviews. He went after people pretty hard, but he proposed marriage to me in his column.
Did he? Well, he was I only met him once or twice.
I never met him.
I met him at a party because he was with his best friend, Polly Bergen.
Yeah.
And he said, this is Andy Hum. He says, they do this wonderful Gay USA show. So we appreciate that he watched. And
I like Polly Bergen.
We love Polly Bergen.
Yes. All right. Now, otherwise, we go to the Trump administration and the nonsense, the horrors, the cruelties.
Yes. And I don't think we should just gloss over that voting rights have been totally destroyed in this country by the Supreme Court. I still think we can win the midterms. But what they have, I mean, it's just essentially the court saying the only discrimination in voting that matters is against white people.
Yes. If you redistrict on behalf of white people, that's fine. If you redistrict on behalf of actual oppressed minority, you're a bad person.
It is disgusting. And of course,
but what we're hoping is that the Republicans have shot themselves in the foot by so diluting their districts with this redistricting that we can, with an overwhelming turnout, take these seats.
That's what we're hoping for, of course.
This is what we do.
You know.
Meanwhile.
Well, NYU Langone Hospital had been performing some, transgender service. They had stopped it. But the federal, they are being issued a criminal subpoena from, this is New York's hospital, the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Northern District of Texas.
Well, this is
to get all their records on their patients and their providers.
Right. This is the same crowd in North Texas that has been issuing these judicial decisions for years that cover the whole country. But that are horrible.
This is extremely alarming, obviously, to the patients and the doctors. And there are support groups being formed to try to mitigate this because we do have a shield law in New York, but it only means that you have to inform them 30 days ahead of time. And they're setting up support groups for people.
Oh, well, and lawsuits are being filed to stop this because this is. Being trans in this country, in spite of the Trump administration and his fiats, is not illegal. And to do this this trans care for minors is not illegal.
And you say it's not illegal, but of course they want to make trans people disappear.
They have
deleted transgender from all official federal forms. They're just doing this by fiat.
The Department of Justice is offering, because so many people have quit the Department of Justice.
They're totally decimated over there.
Yes.
I shouldn't say decimated. It's more like half.
Well, decimated technically means 90%. They're down to 10% of the.
All right.
We can look it up. The DOJ is offering $25,000 signing bonuses to lawyers who come in to work against trans people.
Now, you can get a $50,000 signing bonus if you sign up to be an ICE thug.
Take your pick.
And then, oh, by the way, the changes they're making about forms and things, gender is renamed to be sex, which is not the same thing. And the category transgender is completely deleted. And the category of prefer not to answer, that's gone too.
Gone. So they're going after, I think it's 20 hospitals so far, some most with civil complaints, now these criminal complaints, to demand all these hospital records. Now, hospital records are supposed to be private. And that's why these lawsuits have a chance of winning, because they are just violating the law left, right, up and down, as they do on a daily basis.
And before I go into the next news about what's happening to trans people, some of you write us and say, why do you talk about trans stuff so much? Because it's making news. This is a news program. When the marriage thing was happening, we talked about that all the time because it was big news.
It's the weapon of choice. For a long time, it was abortion from the right wing. Then abortion became approved by the majority of the country, so they couldn't raise money on that anymore. So they moved on to gay people, and they raised a lot of money on our backs for years, including on marriage, and then that got majority approval. So now they are targeting the trans community, and they're doing very well, even though the country is getting more and more approving
and
of trans people.
And we talked about the fact that, you know, Barney Frank is writing a book and telling all his colleagues you have to dump certain support for certain kinds of trans rights. And when I post this on Facebook, there are gay men who come in and say, yeah, we this is a totally separate, let them fight their own battles. And I say, let me just try to say this, we are discriminated against. I'm a gay man or lesbian woman. We get discriminated against because we step outside the gender norm. We need those protections about gender identity and expression.
And let's not forget also that just a few weeks ago here, we were reporting the decision by the judge in Oregon that said that the Trump administration could not attack trans youth care. And yet the Trump administration is just steamrolling over all of this and making up their own rules as they go along and making these demands and issuing these subpoenas. And they are just breaking the law on a daily basis.
Well, under the Obama and Biden administrations, for instance, passports evolved to the point where you certainly could, you know, put your new gender identity on it or an X marker if you wanted. Trump went after all this. And a lower court said, you can't do that. So the Trump administration got an emergency order from the Supreme Court saying, oh, well, yes, you can, while we figure this out some years later.
Same with the military.
So another judge is saying, well, can the plaintiffs who are suing about this, is their lawsuit over? And they want clarification from the court about that. You didn't say you made an ultimate decision. You just made an emergency order that it can go into effect, this assault.
It's all a mess. And the Trump administration will say anything and do anything to try to keep this at the top of the news so they don't have to talk about the Epstein files. Now they don't want to talk about the war in Iran or the prices people are paying. So this is where they end up.
What is it with you? Do you want Iran to have an atom bomb? All right.
Look, I will say, when he yelled
That's all he says.
When he yelled at the reporter yesterday and called her
dumb.
Whatever.
You're a dumb reporter.
Because she said, well, what about the American people and the prices they're paying? And he said, no, I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about Iran having a nuclear bomb. And I had to say, I think he's a monster. I hate him every minute of the day. But what he was trying to say is, you're not going to care about your gas prices if an atom bomb is being dropped on you. I don't think that's happening.
Well,
but that was his point.
We care about trans people in prison because if they're put in the wrong prisons that don't align with their gender identity, they're often raped and et cetera. So our side has been, the National NCLR has been trying to invoke the Prison Rape Elimination Act, which protected them. And they're in court about this. And it's a tough fight.
Here's a good decision by a court in this realm. Judge Boasberg, you may remember him as the one who tried to stop the original kidnapping of immigrants to the prison in Ecuador?
Oh, no, El Salvador.
El Salvador, thank you. Well, Judge Boasberg has issued a decision stopping the Federal Trade Commission from investigating trans medical organizations. He called those investigations retaliatory, exhibiting animus, having a chilling effect on free speech. Let's see if they pay attention to that ruling.
And, you know, Trump went on two anti-trans rants, which he always does, but he first did it when he was with a group of children.
In
the Oval Office, he did that. And then he did it at a retirement community in Florida. Because this is just what people want to hear as the country and the world are falling apart.
And meanwhile, Brendan Carr, the monster at the Federal Communications Commission, is going after The View. We thought maybe they'd drop that, but no, they're continuing to pursue it because they pursue everything. Well, and what he's saying is, you know, if you are an entertainment program, you are required to give equal time approximately to political candidates for office. If you are a news program, you are exempted from that equal time rule. Well, The View has always been part of the news division at ABC, so they are not subject to the equal time rule. But the FCC is now going after them and saying, you shouldn't be in the news division. You should be in the entertainment division. Well, it's not your job to figure that out. That's where they are.
Well, at least ABC in this case, after having paid him off in the previous suit, is fighting back. And their lawyer is Paul Clement, a very established right-wing lawyer.
Yeah, sometimes he's on the other side.
All right.
The week was just topped off by the erection of the Trump calls it gold. It's actually bronze covered in gold plate or whatever, gold leaf.
He can't afford gold.
No, statue at the Doral Golf Course with the ceremony presided over by Pastor Mark Burns, who is, or maybe it was a different pastor.
Mark Burns
is defending it as, how dare you say it's a golden calf? Why, this is our president.
It's called Don Colossus is the actual name of the statue.
Can't wait till someone.
So good and bad news from Florida. Palm Beach County officials have restored funding for repairs on a city-owned building that houses an LGBTQ community center. They were going to stop it because they've said it ran afoul of DEI. But the Compass,
to fix the air conditioning,
the Compass Community Center will be able to continue there. And then let's go to Key West.
It's a city-owned building.
Now,
this
shocks me. Yeah. Key West has some laws about how you can paint your building or your house. And so apparently, I guess all the picket fences have to be white. But this lesbian couple, in response to the fact that you can't paint the streets rainbow anymore, painted their fence that way.
Just six of the pickets, not the whole fence.
And a couple of other people did. The lesbian couple is Coley Sohn and Linda Bagley Sohn. And they're just pissed off at DeSantis and all this. And they were going to be fined. They did paint it over because they were going to be fined $250 a day.
But they're suing.
They are suing. And they said, look, you're allowing a lot of other colorful things around this town. Why are you picking on us?
Exactly.
Could it be that we're lesbians?
And that those are rainbow colors? Yes. There are historical regulations about how things can be set up. But all over town, there are violations of those regulations with signs and banners and whatever. But those six pickets on that fence.
And San Antonio, again, another Texas, so there's no more rainbow stuff on the roads. They're just painting the sidewalks rainbow all over the place.
And in Watertown, Wisconsin, the school board canceled a production of something called A Mother of a Revolution that was about Marsha P. Johnson.
Well, it's an orchestral piece.
It is. It's orchestral.
It's just orchestral. But the school board said, this Marsha P. Johnson, this is a celebration of political violence, which, of course, is what founded this country, after all, the American Revolution.
There's some debate about whether she was at Stonewall anyway.
No, not about Marsha. She was there. This dispute about Sylvia.
Eventually.
Marsha was there. But people will tell you she didn't throw the first brick. Nobody threw the first brick. All right.
All right. And you may remember the story from 2020.
By the way, I'm going to link to that orchestral piece from another orchestra. Okay. So you can listen to it.
In 2023, there was a really horrible story of a gay dancer on his way home from the beach in New York with his friends, and they were at a gas station, and they were just playing the radio and dancing around the gas station. And some local guys were offended by this and killed him for voguing shirtless in the gas station. Yes. Well, the killer, Dmitry Popov, then 17, now 20, is finally on trial this week for murder as a hate crime. He is claiming self-defense.
Yes, he is. All right. And we go into international news. We told
you. Yes.
We told you that the European Union was going to ban conversion therapy across all 27 countries because a million people signed a petition to get them to do this. No, they're just going to suggest that the countries do it. That's weak
well,
tea.
Nonetheless, in on May 17th, mostly in Europe, but all over the world, we will be celebrating what is known as Idahobit, the International Day Against Homophobia, Biphobia, Transphobia, and that's based on the erasure of discriminatory laws against LGBTQ people.
In the United Kingdom, you probably read they had their local elections. The Labour Party, which is in power nationally, got skunked. The right wing is on the rise, but so is the Green Party. So we'll see what happens there. But in Scotland, an anti-trans campaigner J.K. Rowling of the Harry Potter series is now represented by a transgender person in the Scottish National Parliament.
Couldn't happen to a nicer gal.
They have two trans members of the Scottish National Parliament.
Yeah. Not so much fun is the British Medical Association, which has changed its mind on the CAS report, which is the very discredited report questioning care for trans youth.
But not discredited by the UK government, which has embraced it.
It's, you know, this is a very shoddy report. We've looked at it for years. It didn't have good research. It didn't, CAS is not qualified to have done this report, but people are hopping on the bandwagon. It says that trans youth should be treated psychologically, not medically. And by treating them psychologically, they mean talked out of it, conversion therapy.
God's sakes.
So the British Medical Association says there's not enough evidence for hormones or puberty blockers because you haven't done the studies. Do the studies. Then maybe we can have a conversation. But people make these decisions without having done the studies. It's very discouraging.
Well, kudos to our neighbors to the north in Canada. They have appointed a new governor general, Louise Arbour. She's a civil rights lawyer, and one of her cases was to get LGBTQ books back in schools that were being banned by a local school board. And Prime Minister Carney said she will uphold a Canada that's not just for some most of the time, but for all of the time.
So,
can you imagine language like that being used by our federal government anymore? Oh, and you think Trump doesn't care about refugees, but he is weighing citing yet another emergency to admit more white Afrikaners as refugees.
Yes. Luckily, there aren't that many of them. In AIDS news, some of you who are here or wherever may have seen the front page story in the New York Times this week about how modifying immune cells may control HIV, and you may be able to, with one shot, get rid of HIV.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah, they said this will certainly be a possibility decades from now.
Well, it is a therapy that is working in blood cancer, apparently. Some blood cancers.
And is it, or is it in mice that it's working?
No, it's in blood cancers.
And it works best if you intervene immediately.
Entertainment
but
news?
Don't hold your breath on that.
Tell us about Hayden Panettiere.
Well, Hayden Panettiere is a young woman, now 36, I think, who has written a memoir and who came out as bisexual in her memoir. She's a popular young actress who was in Remember the Titans and Nashville and
Heroes.
Heroes. And she's, as I say, popular. So she says better late than never on the coming out. But she also tells the story in this book of how she was sex trafficked when she was 18, more or less by her mother, I think. And she eventually ran away from her family and her mother. She was on a boat, and she found herself being put into a bed on the boat with an older, very famous man who she will not name, who was naked. And it, just another horrifying sex trafficking story.
Well, if you want to be horrified, go see Giant on Broadway. Now, it's a good play. It's a well-written play. But what's it about? Roald Dahl is the famous children's author, and he wrote an article very much against Israel in 1982 and said, and basically said, all Jews have to repudiate this. And that got him in trouble. So the play is about his publicists, American and British, saying, you got to make some sort of an apology. Oh, we're not going to be able to sell your books. And that's what the play is about. But it, people say it's timely, and it's John Lithgow playing Roald Dahl, but say it's timely, but it's not really a fair fight because he's rather a coarse anti-Semite.
He is, and it's... It's sad because it's the classic story of someone who's a wonderful, wonderful writer. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Very successful.
Harold and the Giant Peach. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is such a wonderful book. Forget the movies. The book is just stunningly good.
Well, there you are. Yeah. It's a very hard ticket, but I'm just going to let you know, by the end of the year in November, they're going to make a film out of it. Not a film, but it'll be broadcast. It'll be shown in cinemas.
Yeah. And tell us about Andy Halliday.
Andy Halliday was part of the Charles Bush troupe. Now, there he is with Charles there on the left. And a longtime and beloved staffer of Broadway Cares. He's died at the age of 73 of Parkinson's disease in Palm Springs. He was in Vampire Lesbians of Sodom, Psycho Beach Party, The Lady in Question. But he also wrote plays. And Danny Whitman, the executive director of Broadway Cares, wrote about him as the first person in the office every day and just a wonderful friend to people in theater.
Well, we did lose a lot of important people this week.
We did. It's
Kiara and Jason, Andy, and Rex.
It's our time.
Soon enough. Let's not. My health is excellent. Thank you very much. Even my my hips and back, which had been aching and for which I got a PT. I think golf in Utah is the answer to fixing
my body. All
right,
I'll have to try that.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy to be back and grateful to Kathy and Jay for sitting in. They really did a terrific job, and we will both be back next week.
See ya.